The Path to Unconditional Love. Chapter 7. To Know, to Be, to Be, to Know. The glow at the end of the tunnel was blinding, unreal, and alluring. I was drawn there like a paperclip to a powerful magnet, without the slightest chance of resistance. But I did not want to resist. Surrendering to an unknown power, I flew forward along an infinitely long tube, inexorably approaching the source of light. At first, situations and faces flashed before my eyes, relatives, friends, and mere acquaintances. It was like watching a theater production with myself in the lead role. I was remembering, picking up fragments of emotions and impressions with detachment. But gradually, all this was left far behind. I felt light and calm and even happy that everything was over. It was as if a heavy weight that had been constantly dragging me down was taken off my soul. All that had been disturbing and exciting me was now insignificant, immaterial, unimportant. At last, the tunnel ended, and I burst out into the open, into a space filled with luminous threads. At that moment, the realization came. I no longer have a body, but I exist. This, in itself, did not frighten me, but rather was taken for granted. And then what? What should I do? I thought, looking into the depths of myself and realizing with horror that there was nothing there. From the core of my soul, an indifferent and blind emptiness looked out. There was an infinity before me, but I did not know how to fill it up. I was an empty vessel, a useless shell, a case with no inner contents. There was nothing of value left in me to discover, to sort through, to think over. Eternity to myself seemed to me a sophisticated torture that was more terrible than all the horrors of hell. And suddenly, I heard voices, at first muffled and quiet. They broke through to me as if through several layers of cotton wool. Gradually, they grew louder, and soon I could make out the words.
"She's breathing. Thank God she's back."
Was I on the other side? I wanted to shout at the top of my voice, but my tongue would not work. With great difficulty, I opened my eyes. Through the rainbow swirls, I could see the outlines of bright hospital lamps on the ceiling, the tense faces of doctors leaning over me. They did not tell me anything, but the answer popped into my head. Yes, I had been on the other side, but now I was alive again. I had a body again, and I needed a knowledge that could rid me of my inner emptiness. The operation was sudden, but quite simple. A banal appendicitis. But apparently, the anesthesiologist incorrectly calculated the amount of the drug. Maybe it was my asthenic type that came into play, and my body just could not make it through. The doctors were silent. but I could understand everything by their reactions and my own feelings. Then I did not raise a scandal and shared my experience only with my sister. It happened a few months before the first city seminar where I met the school's mentors. While I was recovering and lying in the ward, gaining strength, I had the opportunity to think carefully about everything. The experience was exciting, forcing me to return to my memories again and again, to replay in my head the feeling of primal horror at the realization of my own emptiness. One thing was clear. I needed knowledge. But which one? Despite having studied with Stas and having read books by Osho and Castaneda, I still could not correctly interpret my impressions and draw the necessary conclusions. The feeling of an all-encompassing inner emptiness shocked me so much that I decided to act, as suggested by social stereotypes imbibed from childhood. And they suggested only one thing: to get a higher education. The choice fell on management and marketing, which most closely correlated with individual entrepreneurship. I submitted documents for the correspondence department of the university, overcoming a huge internal protest. My soul resisted fiercely, but my mind told me otherwise.
Do you want to die an ignorant, to spend eternity alone with your emptiness?
And here I was, squeezing a tuition fee bill between my fingers. I left the university building and went to the bank. Despite a drizzling rain, I walked, although it was faster to go by bus. And I kept thinking, turning over in my head all the pros and cons, listening to the arguments of reason and feelings. They were actively disputing, and I was painfully tossed between two fires, unable to choose. I was sorry to spend a lot of money on studying, and even more sorry to waste time. Still, I stifled my feelings, overcame myself, made the payment, and was enrolled in my first year. I was not happy about this, of course. Each time I made a significant effort to attend classes, listen to the reading material, write essays, incredibly combining all this with entrepreneurship and weightlifting. This was until the day when the blinders finally fell. The capricious February had started to weep with wet snow, but neither the slush underfoot, nor the icy gusts of air, nor the gray, loose snowdrifts could spoil the elated mood. We were waiting for miracles and incredible stories. We were hungry for new acquaintances and discoveries that could change our world. Look! Alyssa touched my elbow, drawing my attention to the unusual couple ahead. I followed my sister's gaze and saw them, a guy and a girl. Both were dressed in black, formally dressed, handsome, energetic. There was an immediate desire to get to know these people more closely, who they were, what their lives were like, what they were interested in, and what they were talking about.
You think they're going to the seminar too?
I asked, lowering my voice for some reason, although we were at least 10 meters away from the strangers, and they could not hear us over the street noise.
I don't know, but they look impressive.
We were on our way, and for some time we followed the strangers looking at them. There was definitely a power in them. The first thing that caught my eye was their gait.
It was not like the way ordinary people walk.
Very fast, even rushing, but not fussy.
Sure, light.
These two were both relaxed and extremely concentrated. It seemed that every second was precious to them. But at the same time, they valued the present moment too much to descend to haste.
The girl's long, raven black hair fluttered prettily in the wind. She was practically floating in the air, graceful and supple.
The guy in the neat coat matched her, tall, dark-haired, and straight as a cypress. Turning away for just a few moments, I lost sight of the couple, and then searched in vain for among the diverse audience of the seminar participants. The meeting place was in the lobby of a regular school, with benches and chairs for the awaiting people. After leaving our coats in the cloakroom, we stood near the entrance, looking curiously at the arriving crowd. People of all ages and social statuses gathered here. Young active guys, apparently students, and respectable ladies dressed in furs, and intellectuals in neat and tidy suits, and pensionnaires in worn jackets and baggy trousers. Alyssa almost immediately flew away when she saw someone from her many acquaintances, while I stood alone for a while, trying to figure out where I was and what to expect. There was an overall buzz in the hall, and the space was gradually filled with the hum of voices. Despite the diversity of the audience, many of the guests already knew each other and were engaged in easy conversations. The air sparkled with a premonition of something interesting and important that would happen very soon. Suddenly, a young woman wearing a long sweater dress, a colorful headband, and a lot of long beads came up to me. "Is this your first time?" she asked, as if we were old friends and had known each other for at least 100 years.
"Yes, it is," I said. I could feel a warm energy of benevolent simplicity, sincerity, and openness emanating from the woman.
"Do you already know what chakras are?"
"Oh, no." I stared at her in surprise, but she, anticipating such a response, took my hand and led me deeper into the hall.
"Let me tell you quickly, so you know what's going on. The mentors will definitely talk about them, I'm sure."
There was nothing in this impulse that could put me in an awkward position. The stranger's kindness was not feigned, as it is often. On the contrary, I realized that the woman was sincerely trying to help. She sat me down in one of the empty seats and began to tell me about each of the man's 7 energy centers, quickly but clearly. We had just got to the last chakra when everyone was invited upstairs. Contrary to my expectations, the seminar was not held in an auditorium with a stage and several rows of shabby tip-up seats, but in a spacious gym with high ceilings. At the entrance of the gym, we were met by assistant mentors,
They greeted us and handed out small questionnaires with a request to fill them out before the event. I picked up a yoga mat from a pile in the corner, spread it out on the floor, kicked off my shoes, and sat down with my legs tucked under. There were not many questions in the questionnaire. The mentors were interested in who we were, what we expected from the seminar, what we had been doing before, and when we had learned about the school. I took a pen out of my bag and began to answer, trying to express my expectations as sincerely and honestly as possible. Music was playing. A lively hum of voices quickly filled the space. Sometimes, after all the participants handed over their papers, something absolutely amazing happened. The young couple in black clothes, who had attracted our attention on the streets, entered the hall. They were not just visitors to the seminar, but the mentors. Now I had a chance to see their faces. Exalted, they seemed to glow from within. Especially beautiful was the girl with black, expressive eyes and incredibly long dark hair. She looked like an Indian, slender, lithe, and graceful. The guy had a broad face with high cheekbones and slightly slanted eyes that peered out from under thick brows. A strong, wiry figure could be discerned under a light black robe. Later, when I worked closely with these people at school, I realized that the black tone in clothing had not been chosen by chance. It so happened that in the modern mass consciousness, white is associated with good, purity, and chasteness, while black is associated with evil, death, and fear. People tend to be afraid of the color black, but in fact, a magician in black clothes is not a dark magician who turns to malign forces for help. This is one of the common misconceptions. Black clothing is not only the color of the potential of the universe, but also a tribute to a tradition that goes back to the history of the Toltecs. With the arrival of the Spanish conquistadors in Mexico, the Toltecs, who originally lived on their land and practiced the principle of peaceful magic, began to be destroyed massively. To survive and preserve the ancient knowledge, they had to learn to be invisible. This is how stalking appeared, an integral part of the teaching, an important element of which was the art of stealth. The surviving stalkers did their best not to stand out and look like everyone else while remaining magicians. They became masters of disguise, skillfully using clothing as a way of camouflage, which allowed them to blend in with the crowd. Modern magicians also sought to lose themselves among the common people. In our post-perestroika time, when everyone bought clothes on the flea market and did not have much choice, it was rare to see people in bright clothes. On the whole, dark gray, muted brown, and black had become dominant. This is why black clothing was the best fit for those who wanted to look like everyone else during this period. However, as experience had shown, they still attracted attention, but not owing to their clothes. "Hello," said the girl,
looking at the audience carefully. I'm happy to welcome you all to the school's seminar. My name is Chandra, which means moon in Sanskrit.
My name is Mukta,
the man said, stepping forward.
Today is the first day of our 5-day seminar. We already know some of you, but most of you are new to us. So, our assistants asked you to fill out questionnaires and write which topics and practices you are most interested in.
I stared hungrily at the mentors, hanging on their every word. Their voices were mesmerizing. Chandra's speech flowed smoothly,
but there was power in it, a vigor, tremendous energy.
Mukta's voice was more abrupt, more resonant, and the sound of his voice vibrated in the silence.
Thank you for your sincere answers,
the girl said again. Based on them, we have identified the main topic of our classes, something that will be interesting to most, and this is healing. There was a murmur of approval from the audience. The girl paused, allowing people to express their emotions, and then continued after a short pause.
A human is a multidimensional being. They perceive information in different ways. On the mental level, through logic and reason. On the emotional level, through feelings and experiences. And on the physical level, through bodily practices. And our classes will also be multidimensional, so that all channels of perceptions are involved.
Chandra stepped back, letting her partner continue.
So, before we begin our first lecture on healing, we will do a dynamic meditation. It will help you to switch from mundane problems and fuss, raise your energy level, relief from stress, and remove the psychological barriers. This will give you the opportunity to tune in to the perceptions. So please stand up freely so that nothing disturbs you and concentrate on your breathing. It must be deep. Breathe as fast as you can and concentrate on exhaling.
At this moment, a distant sound of trumpets was heard, intertwining with a charming flying melody. It was magical music, unlike anything else, that pulled me out of reality and transported me to the world of the awakening sun and the majestic snow-white palaces. Following the music and the voice of my mentor, I focused on my breathing, giving myself in more and more to this process, forgetting everything, feeling the energy flow inside me, rising up and pulsating, overflowing, trying to pour out. It was getting harder and harder to contain it. And then there was an explosion. I let the energy burst out. I laughed, shouted, moved my whole body, raised my arms and whirled in the dance. Dissolving in it, and at the same time felt my integrity, attunement with the vast world.
When it was over, I felt an incredible sense of calm, lightness, and lucidity. Doubts and all unnecessary thoughts faded into the insignificance. So, it's time to talk about healing, Chandra said, replacing her partner. I will not talk about the chakras now. As far as I understand from your questionnaires, you already know something about them. There was another murmur of approval from the audience, and I looked gratefully at the woman who had so enthusiastically put me in the way of things just a few minutes ago. She caught my eye and gave me a warm smile. I will tell you what illness is, she continued. If you have any questions, raise your hand and ask them. I will immediately give the necessary explanations. So, each human organ is connected to one of the 7 chakras. If any chakra is affected, an illness can spread over all the organs associated with it, to a greater or lesser extent. In the front, a hand shot up, belonging to a thin, middle-aged woman with gray hair pulled back in a bun. So, a disease is not just an illness of the physical body? She asked when Chandra nodded in her direction. Yes, that's right, she said softly. A human is the unity of the vital, astral, etheric, and physical bodies, and we will consider it as a whole by applying methods of influence on all the planes. We must have a comprehensive treatment method. You can't heal a person just by making passes over their head. This will make them feel better, but only for a short time. A person should do physical exercises, drink herbal infusions, massage special points on the body, raise the energy level, or harmonize it, and pray. You cannot work on one thing. As psychics, I waved my hands, harmonized the field, everything is back to normal. But the cause remains. The person lives poorly, moves little, eats incorrectly. And what happens? The energy is harmonized for a while. It has been released. And then the person falls ill again. They start smoking again, doing drugs, overeating, sleeping too much, or something else. The tutor paused to assess our reaction and then continued. And now, let's talk specifically about the relation between the chakras and organs. Let's go from the bottom with Muladhara. This chakra is associated with the musculoskeletal system, immunity, tonus, and tendons. If a person is exhausted, if they have muscle problems, if they often get cold, the Muladhara chakra suffers. The problem is associated with a sedentary lifestyle, which results in a lack of physical strength, flexibility, and dexterity. Who knows what to do to strengthen Muladhara? Here and there, voices came up. Do yoga, improve, dance, do sports. That's right, Chandra said. There are 3 ways of self-improvement at the level of the physical body. These are Hatha Yoga, Natyam dancing art, and martial arts. Everyone can choose the direction that is closer and more suitable for them. But let's move on. The next chakra is Svadhisthana. Who knows which organs it is associated with? This time, there was silence in the hall. Only a few hands confidently went up. One of them belonged to Vera, that small, plump, but very flexible woman, thanks to whom Alessia and I were at this seminar. The tutor gestured in her direction. Svadhisthana is associated with the sexual system, mammary glands, skin, and lymph, Vera recounted thoroughly. Chandra nodded approvingly. You are right. If a person has any disorders in these areas, it means that there's something wrong with the Svadhisthana chakra. And basically, this is a problem for all people. Because today, many people lead the wrong way of life. Women are especially often ill. They give birth and put their body under a lot of stress. A white-haired lady in the front raised her hand again. If a person comes with this kind of illness, what method can we recommend to raise the level of energy in this chakra? Answered Chandra vividly, as if waiting for this question. There are a lot of methods and techniques, ranging from herbal medicine and reflexology to energy practices, working with the etheric channels, movement of energy. Different cultures of the world have preserved different remnants of knowledge. For example, in China, only reflexology is developed. People there study channels and points. In India, most of the work is done with the chakras. In ancient Egypt, they had their own specific ways. The Mexican Indians have their own culture. Initially, the knowledge was unified, but it was reflected in different cultures in different ways. And now, at the school, we combine these remnants of knowledge into a single system. That's why we need to study so much to understand what is connected with what and how. Chandra paused and looked around the room, waiting for questions.
You mentioned herbal medicine.
A thin voice came from behind me, and I turned to see that it belonged to a very young freckled girl.
And which herbs are better to use?
Basically, the reason for people's illnesses is that they have low energy levels. And in most cases, we recommend people to drink tonic herbs. Virginia, Shisandra, Sweet Flag, Sweet Vetch, Rose Root. All that stimulates energy. Even when the energy level rises, you can use herbs as an additional means to treat a certain disease. This is a great science, worthy of a separate lecture. I listened with interest to the tutor, admiring her amazing plasticity. She spoke with confidence, heartily, smoothly gesticulating as if dancing in one place. Her deep black eyes shone with wisdom and warmth. So, let's move on to the next chakra, said Chandra. Manipura. It is associated with the digestive organs, spleen, liver, biliary tracts. If one of these organs is in pain, If a person is lethargic, apathetic, if they don't want anything, if they are unaffected by anything, then the vital energy of such a person is at a low level. So, we have to treat the whole of Manipura. And here, we use all the practices related to raising energy levels. This is working with the body of Kut, the practice of generating rage according to the Sampo system, and tensegrity. Unfortunately, none of these practices were familiar to me, and I thought about asking the tutor to tell more about them. But at this time, the question was asked by a bright man with long light brown hair.
But if a person is not apathetic, but on the contrary, irritable, restless, aggressive, is this also related to Manipura?
Yes. Such a person may have an overabundance of liver or gallbladder work. And so, they need to calm down, do self-regulation. You can use such practices as relaxation, auto-training, constant auto-suggestion. When a person says,
I will be calm, balanced.
I will always act sensibly, never show emotions. When I heard her answer, I raised my hand, and when Chandra nodded at me, I asked, not what I wanted at first, but what was very important to me, about my mother's illness. And if a person has a chronic stomach ulcer, what does it mean? It means an overabundance of the male yang energy. This is the energy of activity, movement, red color, sun, and awareness. If there is too much of it, it just leads to irritability, constant anxiety, unbalance. I thought about it. My mother had always been busy and active, but recently she had been under a lot of stress, which my stepfather had dragged her into. She was experiencing the collapse of hopes and disappointment, was shy to get a job, and did not want to go out at all, so as not to be seen by her many acquaintances. I was very sorry for my mother. I wanted to help. But how? Repeated attempts to talk to her were unsuccessful. My mother simply did not hear me, and more often I saw her drunk. She completely ignored her worsening stomach ulcer and her own life. While I was thinking, the lecture had already continued. The tutor moved on to the next chakra. Anahata is associated with the lungs, bronchi, cardiovascular system, and thymus. If a person has problems with the heart and lungs, and often these are interrelated illnesses, then healing occurs through the harmonization of anahata. That is, on the physical level, we give herbs. On the etheric level, we deal with points that relate to these organs. On the vital level, we raise the overall level of energy. And on the astral level, we pray for this person and connect them to the divine power. And what is the right way to pray? A woman's voice boomed from the back row. Can a practice of group prayer help a person faster? Of course it can, said Chandra. For example, a woman came to our seminar one day when her husband jumped out of the window. He remained alive, but was very badly injured. He shattered his heels and tailbone. She brought his photo and said, "Help me, heal my husband." When everyone sat in a circle, the woman took a place in the center and told how everything was going on. Bandits were trying to break into the house. The husband was afraid and jumped out of the window. We all became emotionally involved in this situation. There was a great resonance to this story, a unity. Everyone prayed and started influencing this man through his wife with the help of the photo. And it helped him right away, right during the prayer. He was in the hospital at the time with these weights suspended so that the pelvic bones would stretch a little for the proper bone union. During the prayer, the bones themselves moved into the correct place and the weights jumped a little. A day later, the man was able to stand up, and a week later, he could walk. That is, he was influenced by the healing astral energy, and as a result, even the laws of the physical world changed. Many people in the audience were impressed by the mentor's story. The people started talking excitedly, and I could see their eyes light up. It seemed that many people wanted to try this method of group influence to help their loved ones. I had always treated such stories calmly, without enthusiasm. A critical mind always demanded proof, to see everything with my own eyes and then accept it, internalize it. At that moment, I thought of my mother again, about how great it would be to do something like this right now. As if responding to my unspoken thoughts, Chandra turned to us. "Do you want to have a similar practice today, after the lecture?" The room literally exploded with a friendly yes, and I felt an exciting anticipation build up inside. The tutor smiled gently. "All right, we'll do it soon," she said. Astral energy is much higher than physical energy. These sessions are very powerful because the intensity of the collective field is great. When it is connected to the egregore, there is a large power. We take this energy and direct it to the person who needs our help, and they can blossom literally before our eyes. Chandra's explanation inspired me, and I wanted to start practicing as soon as possible to make it easier for my mother to make her eyes bright again so that she could find the strength to move on no matter what. And we move on to the next chakra, said the mentor, and that is Vishuddha. It is associated with the thyroid, neck, lower jaw, hearing organs, vocal cords, pharynx, speech organs, and palate. If a person has problems with these organs, the treatment procedure is the same as with the other chakras. On the physical level, it also includes herbs. On the etheric, acupuncture. On the vital, the Sampo system. on the astral level, prayer, and directly on the level of Vishuddha, creativity. The person needs to be given some creative task to overcome the illness. For example, if they have a problem with stuttering, you need to teach them to sing. They should dwell on the words, not he, but he. A hand was raised again in the hall.
I have a friend who stutters, but he sings well, and when he talks, he stutters.
Then he must remember how he sings, in what state he does it, and in the same state he must speak. Let him speak first in verse, then in ordinary speech. By the way, it may well be that he is missing his calling. Very often, defects in some chakras can transform into a great quality. For example, if a child was bullied at school, a wimp, then he will grow up very strong and may even become an athlete. A sense of inferiority forces him to make an effort, and he can no longer stop, and he grows up to be a genius. For example, Van Damme used to be such a child, but one day he started doing sports and said to himself, I will be the best. And now he is worldwide famous.
And can Anahata be treated with more subtle energy through the Vishuddha level?
Asked Vera.
Yes, but what for?
The tutor was surprised. Anahata is the love chakra. You need to approach the person with love. Treat them while they accept your help. If a person is in a hopeless state, if they know, for example, that tomorrow or in a month they will die, and you will help them harmonize Anahata, show them what to do, how to activate the chakra, how to pray with love and gratitude. And if they actively start practicing, then healing will definitely come. Vera nodded with satisfaction. And I noticed how confident Chandra was in answering all the questions. Her store of knowledge was boundless. And what particularly won me over was the simplicity with which the tutor told about such complex things. Even to me, with my almost zero knowledge of healing, everything was clear. While I was listening to Chandra, when I was looking into her expressive black eyes, there was a feeling of amazing cleverness, transparency, clarity. Let's move on to the Ajna Chakra, said the woman. It is associated with eyesight, the upper jaw, the pituitary, memory and cognition. If a person suffers from delayed development, dispersed consciousness, then the problem is in Ajna. Such a person will be sluggish or impulsive, windy, absent-minded, constantly switching from one thing to the other. They need to develop will, consistency, the ability to clearly go to their goals. And as these qualities develop, illnesses associated with the Ajna Chakra will disappear. It is necessary to treat the illnesses on the subtle level. And when this distortion disappears, the person becomes normal and recovers. The simplest and most effective practice is Trataka, a lit candle, or the Sri Yantra Mandala is used for it.
Will you tell us how to perform Trataka correctly?
Asked Alessa. With a notebook open on her lap, my sister sat in the front row right next to the tutors. We will definitely do this meditation on one of the days of our seminar, replied Chandra. By the way, Trataka not only helps to concentrate, but also improves eyesight.
Why can eyesight be weak?
The visual organs make little effort. There is a very simple method of training these muscles. You take glasses with sheets of leather with pinhole-sized perforations in place of each lens, and through these glasses a person tries to see. At first, they see only the light that penetrates through these holes. The person begins to strain their eyes and after a while begin to see little. Somehow, see what's around through these glasses or read. Their eyes gradually get used to making efforts. The eye muscles begin to contract and relax. They train, and eventually the person's eyesight comes back to normal.
Is there an energy difference when the eye muscles contract or relax?
Certainly. Far-sightedness is characteristic of young people. Short-sightedness, in ones. Therefore, by harmonizing energy, we can also correct a person's eyesight. A question came again from the audience.
And sclerosis? How to deal with that?
With sclerosis, the blood vessels in the brain shrink, and a person forgets fragments of the past. They may even forget something about their profession. To heal, they need to perform Shirshasana, the yoga headstand. In this case, the blood flows to the brain, the vessels expand, and the illness passes. You need to stand on your head for as long as it does not cause discomfort. If you feel that it is already unpleasant, then you should stop. But this time is gradually beginning to increase. First, you stand for 3 minutes, then 3.5, then 5 minutes, and so on, until you can stand for 30 minutes. You don't need to stand for half an hour right away. And in general, this is the basic principle of yoga. You do it for as long as the pose is not difficult to perform, for as long as it does not cause much discomfort. Chandra paused and looked around again for questions, but they did not come, so she continued. If everything is clear with the Ajna Chakra, let's move on to the last energy center, Sahasrara. This chakra is associated with the epiphysis and cortex of the brain. When a baby is born, it has a fontanelle on the top of the head, a non-ossified section of the skull. So, newborns have more clairvoyance than adults. Monks in Tibet often drill holes in their skulls in order to possess the power of clairvoyance. But they know how to do it. The tutor smiled mischievously. And this, of course, does not mean that we all need to drill such a hole in our heads. I found myself smiling too. Most people don't have this chakra working, continued the tutor. It is activated only during dreaming. In a dream, the third eye activates, which receives information from the subtle world. In general, Sahasrara is associated with the central nervous system and with all mental illnesses.
Do I understand correctly that clairvoyance is related to Sahasrara?
Alicia asked, looking up from her notes. Yes, because we see with this spot. Chandra touched the top of her head with an expressive gesture, and the projection of these images goes to the mind's eye. That is, we see and perceive with Sahasrara, and the data received is transferred to the information plane, to Ajna.
And the third eye, what is it responsible for?
For intuition. It includes perception, configuration, and decoding of this information. It is not just the pituitary gland or the epiphysis alone, but both glands together. Vera raised her hand.
Can we say that every person in their ajna has their own picture of the world, their own symbols, and the energy in a dream comes to these particular symbols?
Not exactly, because the dream can be abstract and is not associated with any symbols at all. Dreams have several orders of magnitude, several varieties. Some of them have their own symbols. Others come from the subtle plane. They are already difficult for a person to understand. When we fall asleep, we just see flashing pictures in our mind's eye. Then we have some images, event-related. And then there is a transition to the astral vision. This plane is no longer connected with the person's personality. It is their essence. And basically, all people go through these stages of sleep. And in the end, we have a dreamless sleep. That is, every night we enter samadhi. But we do not know anything about it, because our consciousness is asleep and does not perceive it. It seems to us that the consciousness has been switched off and then activated again. In fact, the consciousness in the dream merged with itself and then returned to the plane of events. If we were awakened, we would have lucid dreams. And for us, it would not be a dip into darkness, but into the light. Chandra paused, raised her hand, as if she was going to dance, and her dark eyes flashed as she recited. To darkness, let your eyes become used to. Then they will see the light that fills the darkness. I held my breath
enjoying the harmony of words and meanings, the balance of internal and external, the combination of flexibility, suppleness, and great strength. When a person has problems with Sahasrara, then there are mental abnormalities. But basically, everyone is a bit of schizophrenic. Everyone has a thing about something. For example, the mug must stand in a certain place only. And if it moves even a little, the person always wants to put it back. Other people will only use their own mug. And God forbid someone should take it. Other people will have some other quirks and twists. Everyone has them. Only the enlightened person acts objectively. Only they are devoid of any stereotypes. Ideally, a normal person should be free of quirks, of stereotypes, of any rules. They must act based on reality. Do what is now necessary.
Necessary for what?
I asked. For their higher purposes, Chandra said simply. The trouble with most people is that they are confused and live in illusions. They do not see their purpose, do not understand why they are on this earth. They pursue goals that they don't need, and so they suffer. If a person abandoned false goals and just existed, say, like a cat, this would be much more spiritual compared to the state of misery in which a person lives in the modern world. During the break, music played. Songs recorded by the students of the school. The melodies themselves did not differ in anything special. I easily recognized the compositions of famous pop artists. But the lyrics, they had a completely different meaning, though, filled with spiritual truths. Some sounded solemn and grand. Others were bright, joyous, and merry. The students of the school were not professional vocalists, and this was noticeable. In the quality of mastering and orchestration, all this left much to be desired, which initially caused a sharp rejection in me. Couldn't they have made a normal recording? I thought, genuinely not understanding such carelessness. But my criticism melted away as soon as I heard it. Simple music based on a translation of a poem by Rudyard Kipling. I immediately recognized that poem. It was my favorite. I would read it like a prayer when my heart was filled with bitterness, resentment, and pain. The song spoke of forgiveness and the ability to dream, wisdom and willpower, honesty and simplicity. Despite the obviously unprofessional sound mix, the composition deeply touched me, penetrated to the very core of my consciousness. I enjoyed every word, and they all intertwined with each other in a harmony of meanings, filling the world with flawless, ringing beauty. It took me a moment to realize that tears were streaming down my cheeks, as if an inner dam had been blocking the path of a raging river for a long time, had finally collapsed, and brought me long-awaited freedom and purification. It was a turning point, after which I did not care how the music was recorded, whether the vocalist was singing out of key, or how the arrangement was made. The main thing was not in this, but in the very essence which resonated with the strings of my soul. The experience so strongly captured me that I fell out of the stream of the moment for a while. There was an overall liveliness around, people sharing their impressions with each other, gesturing emotionally, some dancing to the beat of the music, and those who wanted to ask some questions had gathered around the tutors. It was as if I were in a different dimension, near, but far away at the same time. "Roxana! Hi!" Suddenly, someone touched my shoulder, making me turn around and pull me into the real world.
"Oh, Alec!"
I blinked, trying to clear the haze from my eyes. Vera's nephew was standing in front of me. He was sitting in the front row during class, and we didn't get a chance to say hello.
"Have you been crying? Has something happened to you?"
Alec looked into my eyes with concern. A young, dark-haired guy, a kind of Russian bogatyr, with broad shoulders and middle-parted hair. Not my type, but one could say he was handsome. His eyes were the color of a frosty sky, a dimple in his chin, a muscular body. We often met at weightlifting classes, talked about healthy eating, training, and spiritual development. At one time, Alec even tried to get closer, but when he found out that I had a boyfriend, he stopped trying, and we just remained good friends.
"No, it's all right. It's just the song touched me to the heart,"
I replied, wiping the last of the tears from my cheeks. Alec bowed his head in understanding, and then, as if this information burned his mouth, blurted out,
"And I have been invited to the Echo Village!"
"Whoa! Seriously?"
I looked at him with undisgusted interest, in a new way, as if I had just seen him. An invitation to the Echo Village. It was something fantastic, unreal, magical. I did not dare dream of it. Satisfied with the effect, the guy nodded toward the tutors, who were explaining something to a blonde woman with a tired, worried face. "All that remains is to talk with my mother."
"That's really cool," I said. "Congratulations! When are you going?"
"I don't know yet. I'll be waiting for the signal and getting ready."
Alec again cast a glance in the direction of the tutors, just at the moment when the worried woman turned and waved to him with her hand.
"Okay, excuse me, I'm being called."
"Sure," I said, and added, "I'm happy for you." I pensively watched
their conversation for a while. The tutors were telling something, smiling encouragingly, and his mother's face gradually brightened and smoothed. Alec was standing with his tail in the air. It was obvious that he was immensely pleased and happy. No, I was not even a bit envious. I did not think I was worthy of such a high honor. Who was I? Just an inexperienced novice who did not know even the most basic things. And besides, I thought I was too old for an Echo Village, because in just 3 months I would be 24. At that time, this figure seemed monstrously large. And now, as I promised, we will have a healing practice, but it will be somewhat different, Chandra said, indicating that the break was over. In the example, I told you about a group effect aimed at one person. Now, each of you will be able to help someone from your environment. Think about who needs this help the most. Please prepare some paper and pens. You will need to draw the person you want to heal. It is not necessary to achieve a portrait likeness, and it does not matter whether you can draw or not. Think about the person you are drawing. Imagine them in as much detail as possible. What they might be wearing, what they are currently doing. Tune in to them. Hold your hand over the drawing and try to understand what hurts the person, which organ. Maybe in this place you will feel burning, or, conversely, cold. Of course I drew my mother. I let go of myself, and my soul was immediately filled with achieving longing. My mother was the closest person who had given me life. She had always been strict, but kind, active, and fair. She had tried to raise my sister and me as decent as people, but now she was broken and crushed, and there was nowhere to find the strength to pull herself together. She felt pain and resentment, her own insignificance and weakness. She felt sorry for herself, and it made her feel even worse. My hand moved quickly over the sheet of paper. I did not think about how I was drawing. It was being done by itself. And then we sat in a circle and held hands. And Chandra stood in the center and began to say a prayer. There was a piece of soft, slow music playing in the background. There was no melody or words in it, just a sound that came like a wave, then receded like sea tides. The tutor's voice was smooth but strong. It filled the space, made us follow it. We repeated the words of a prayer, and the sounds of our voices merged, resonating with each other. It was a strong, emotional practice. I felt the energy flow from above to the mentor, and the energy threads were drawn from her to each of us sitting in the circle. And then I tried to mentally break this thread and direct it to my drawing. I managed to do this, and I continued to focus on this refraction, imagining energy filling my mother's weak body on all levels. Irritability, resentment, and pain going away and being replaced by awareness, acceptance of the situation, calmness. When it was over, I realized that I was very tired, but together with it, a sense of satisfaction came in. The certainty that something really important was happening. I knew that a total of 4 hours had been allotted for the seminar, but in fact, with the breaks, even more had passed. But it did not feel like a long time. As the tutors began to say goodbye, I had a sharp regret that it had all ended too quickly. I wanted to touch the knowledge again, to prolong the feeling of flight, inspiration, and delight. At the end of the seminar, I, like many beginners, approached the assistant mentors to pay for the participation. It was not cheap, but it was a case when parting with money was not a pity. I had already prepared the necessary amount, and waiting for my turn, handed it to the young man with a charming smile and a peculiar, mischievous, sharp look. A powerful, positive energy came from him. His gaze was attentive, piercing, and at the same time perky. It attracted, captured, aroused sympathy. It was as if this guy knew something I didn't know yet.
"We have a big discount for students,"
he said kindly.
"You must be a student, right?"
The innocent question stopped me in my tracks. A student? I remembered my inner protest, which I overcame every time I went to a lecture. And then a great wave of fear began to steer in my soul.
It was impossible to forget. I again experienced the feeling of emptiness that I had first experienced during the surgery. It came like an avalanche, sweeping away all the false, illusory barriers I was trying to build. Training, education, marketing principles, analysis models, target audiences. Everything I tried to force into myself went into a bottomless abyss, leaving me alone with eternity. Suddenly, I realized the meaningless of my life as a student. Higher education would not be able to save me from my inner emptiness. Only the knowledge I had received at school could fill me. Here, my soul was reviving. Here, it was yearning to come all this time. It was like an epiphany. I looked up, aware that the guy was watching me intently, waiting for an answer. I breathed out, "Not anymore." And I handed the assistant the full amount. And at the same time, I felt incredible relief. After that,
I went to the university only once to apply for resignation. There was a sharp awareness. This is it. The very thing that I had been waiting for so long and that my soul needed so much. Now I was sure that this was my path, and I was willing to go to great lengths to follow it, filling myself with the knowledge.
When Alyssa and I returned home late in the evening, we witnessed a dramatic change. My mother was not asleep as usual, but was sitting on her favorite poof by the window and reading the Bible. She was absolutely sober, peaceful, and serene. I had not seen her like this in a long time. And now, my soul was filled with warmth, joy, and triumph. Is it working? I asked myself a silent question, looking at my mother. I was once again convinced that miracles were real and were happening right here and now. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.